Chapter 28, Relation of Dress to Education.
In modest apparel, the king's daughter is all glorious within. No education can be complete that does not teach right principles in regard to dress. Without such teaching, the work of education is too often retarded and perverted. Love of dress and devotion to fashion are among the teacher's most formidable rivals and most effective hindrances. Fashion is a mistress that rules with an iron hand. In very many homes, the strength and time and attention of parents and children are absorbed in meeting her demands. The rich are ambitious to outdo one another in conforming to her ever-varying styles. The middle and poorer classes strive to approach the standard set by those supposed to be above them. Where means or strength is limited, and the ambition for gentility is great, the burden becomes almost insupportable. With many, it matters not how becoming or even beautiful a garment may be. Let the fashions change, and it must be remade or cast aside. The members of the household are doomed to ceaseless toil. There is no time for training the children, no time for prayer or Bible study, no time for helping the little ones to become acquainted with God through His works. There is no time or money for charity, and often the home table is stinted. The food is ill-selected and hastily prepared, and the demands of nature are but partially supplied. The result is wrong habits of diet, which create disease or lead to intemperance. The love of display produces extravagance, and in many young people kills the aspiration for a nobler life. Instead of seeking an education, they early engage in some occupation to earn money for indulging the passion for dress, and through this passion, many a young girl is beguiled to ruin. In many a home, the family resources are overtaxed. The father, unable to supply the demands of the mother and the children, is tempted to dishonesty, and again dishonor and ruin are the result. Even the day and the services of worship are not exempt from fashion's domination. Rather, they afford opportunity for the greater display of her power. The church is made a parade ground, and the fashions are studied more than the sermon. The poor, unable to meet the demands of custom, stay away from church altogether. The day of rest is spent in idleness, and by the youth often in associations that are demoralizing. At school, the girls are by unsuitable and uncomfortable clothing unfitted either for study or for recreation. Their minds are preoccupied, and the teacher has a difficult task to awaken their interest. For breaking the spell of fashion, the teacher can often find no means more effective than contact with nature. Let pupils taste the delights to be found by river or lake or sea. Let them climb the hills, gaze on the sunset glory, explore the treasures of wood and field. Let them learn the pleasure of cultivating plants and flowers, and the importance of an additional ribbon or ruffle will sink into insignificance. Lead the youth to see that in dress, as in diet, plain living is indispensable to high thinking. Lead them to see how much there is to learn and to do, how precious are the days of youth as a preparation for the life work. Help them to see what treasures there are in the Word of God, in the book of nature, and in the records of noble lives. Let their minds be directed to the suffering which they might relieve. Help them to see that by every dollar squandered in display, the spender is deprived of means for feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and comforting the sorrowful. They cannot afford to miss life's glorious opportunities, to dwarf their minds, to ruin their health, and to wreck their happiness for the sake of obedience to mandates that have no foundation in reason, in comfort, or in comeliness. At the same time, the young should be taught to recognize the lesson of nature. He hath made everything beautiful in its time, Ecclesiastes 3:11, Revised Version. In dress, as in all things else, It is our privilege to honor our Creator. He desires our clothing to be not only neat and healthful, but appropriate and becoming. A person's character is judged by his style of dress. A refined taste, a cultivated mind, will be revealed in the choice of simple and appropriate attire. Chaste simplicity in dress, when united with modesty of demeanor, will go far toward surrounding a young woman with that atmosphere of sacred reserve which will be to her a shield from 1,000 perils. Let girls be taught that the art of dressing well includes the ability to make their own clothing. This is an ambition that every girl should cherish. It will be a means of usefulness and independence that she cannot afford to miss. It is right to love beauty and to desire it, but God desires us to love and to seek first the highest beauty, that which is imperishable. The choicest productions of human skill possess no beauty that can bear comparison with that beauty of character which in His sight is of great price. Let the youth and the little children be taught to choose for themselves that royal robe woven in heaven's loom, the fine linen, clean and white, Revelation 19:8, which all the holy ones of earth will wear. This robe, Christ's own spotless character, is freely offered to every human being, but all who receive it will receive and wear it here. Let the children be taught that as they open their minds to pure, loving thoughts and do loving and helpful deeds, they are clothing themselves with His beautiful garment of character. This apparel will make them beautiful and beloved here, and will hereafter be their title of admission to the palace of the King. His promise is, "They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Revelation 3:4.